Hello, this is the introduction to this week's podcast. I am Jen Kirkman. I am in the tub. What? What you talking about, Kirksey? You say to yourself, in the tub? You're supposed to be in the bed. What's happening? I decided to sell my bed because I have a spiritual guru now who says that water is the most natural thing we can sleep on. No, I'm kidding. I'm in the tub because, you know why? I'm multitasking. I have to take a bath, doctor's orders, and this whole episode is so different than the rest. I figured I didn't record it from a bed with my family. I was on a couch. I have guests, which is my family, my mother, my father, my sister, my mother, Joanne, my father, Ron, and my sister, Gail. Absent from the podcast, my other sister, Linda, who lives in Vermont. She was in Vermont, and we were in Massachusetts. So, but yeah, so it was a, you know, it's a different episode, so I figure what we won't do anything normal this one. The only time I will have guests is my family. Now, let me make my disclaimers. My family wanted to, I can't tell. They were like, I'm interested. My sister was like, I've got to, you know, work and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why are you telling me all this? She's like, because I want to be on the podcast. I want to see how it works. So now I can't be on it if you don't, because you didn't do it last night. And I was like, oh no, we'll get you on. Then my mother was like, we need to make notes. We need topics. I don't want to sound like an idiot. And then my dad, he didn't know what was going on. So I don't know if they wanted to be on it or not. I'm sure they all could have done without it. But here's the thing. Once I turn the recorder on, now I only have one mic. I know I could get more. I'm not Casey Kasem. You know, I'm not in the business of doing a four-person podcast, everyone screaming, or interviewing people. I wanted to talk to my family, and I wanted it to have that pass around the mic feel. Pass the mic, as the Beastie Boys said. But I realized that my family, it's like saying to a bunch of cats, and there were three cats in attendance on this podcast taping. It's like saying to a bunch of cats, can you please pass around this string? Like, they can't. They'll go crazy. They're flipping around. The string is everywhere. Then they get distracted. They run away. My family, I think, did not care if they were heard off mic as they were talking to me while I was trying to record my opening monologue. So then to get them, I would have to go over to them with the microphone. Then when I would go over to them with the microphone, my family, the loudest people on planet Earth, would suddenly be swallowing their words. You know, talking like this. So I'm going to, you know, hopefully the levels have been played with enough, but it may be impossible to fix. So I apologize for the what I call this American life level of frustrating level changes. If you're listening to this one in bed and you have it turned down low, when my family comes on, you're going to have to turn it back up. So, but that's all right. So, but they're good people. They're a fun time. And I, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have it any other way that my family asked me the same questions 50 times. How far is your commute from work? Is it worse now? My mother asks. Yeah, like I would move so that my commute could be worse. You know me. I was like, no, it was 90 minutes in traffic each way before. Now it is, I am 1 mile from my job. I was only 7 miles before, but that's LA. I didn't know. You never told me. Ah, dude. My sister, how come no one knows about me? Because you told me not to do jokes about you anymore, my act. You told me not to tell your business in my book. I mean, nobody knows you. You told me to put tape over my mouth. But God bless them all. I had a lovely time over Thanksgiving, went back to Massachusetts. I got some writing done. I have a script deal with the FX network, and I wrote a script. I will rewrite it 50 times. Will it get made into a pilot? I don't know. Who cares if it does anyway? You might not see it if it doesn't get picked up after making the pilot, right? If they film it, then what? If it becomes a TV show, you see it. If they don't, you don't see it. So 9,000 steps, more will be revealed, out of my hands, blah, 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 blah. But I still have to write the script. I found it very relaxing to be in Massachusetts. It was 15 degrees out with the wind chill, -7,000. And so I sat inside at my sister's house in front of a fireplace and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. As my parents asked, what are you doing in front of the computer for 11 hours writing a script? The thing, if I wasn't sitting in front of the computer, you'd be asking me when I'm writing it. That's not good for you to sit there that long. Then when I would get up and take a stretching break, I thought you were working on something. You can't, these people are, they ask a lot of questions. But they're my family and I love them. I don't even think I love them just because they're my family. I think if I ran into these people at, say, a Building 19, that's a Massachusetts reference, I would probably go, these people seem like a good time. I wish they'd invite me to their Thanksgiving. One thing, I guess you can meet other people's families without having ever had to have been married, but one thing I did not, or I do not like about dating, marriage, all that stuff, is the inevitable time when you have to become part of someone else's family. Are you shitting me? At age 30 to 40 to 50, after decades of navigating my own family, my own reactions to my family, their reactions to me, the amount of people in my family. I'm not talking just immediate now, I'm talking extended. I now have to take someone else's family into my life? Dear God. Why? What if we both see our families at the holidays and then meet up, you know, see them a couple days less, and then meet up and take a two-day trip together for our holiday, right? Wouldn't that be great? Because there's something not romantic to me about Christmas. I never thought of it as like, it felt weird to me the year that my husband and I stayed home in LA and went to a movie and exchanged gifts and had some wine and cheese on Christmas Day. I was like, huh, I feel like we should be with family, but I don't want to be with my family and then drive to your family and then be, you know, I just feel like maybe we could have done that movie and wine and cheese and gifts on the 27th. Would it have killed us? Now, I'm not saying you have to spend that. I think I'm probably not going to spend Christmas with my family because I travel for a part-time living and I think I'm traveled out for the year. There have been so many plane trips where I would work 40 hours a week, then get on a plane to go to my book tour, Red Eyes, come back to work Monday, and did that like 6 weeks in a row, and then twice a month after that. I think for my 2 weeks off in December, I would just like to look at that calendar and see nothing on it. Risk missing them and feeling guilty. Now, anyway, my point is, when you're married or dating or whatever, now I got to meet your grandmother and go do their traditions. And, you know, I like the way my family talks. I don't even know if anyone hears a damn thing anyone's saying. But we just talk at dinner. You know what my family is? They're Woody Allen's family in Annie Hall. His wife has diabetes. You know, everyone's screaming and yelling. My ex-husband's family is Annie Hall's family. You can hear forks clinking, people chewing. One person talks at a time. Then sometimes there's silence. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what normal people are like. But it was not normal to me, so I was completely weirded out at all times. I found it weird to have to get dressed to sit at the dinner table. When I'm with my family, sometimes I just don't shower for a day, and I put on the sweatpants, and I sit Indian style. Can we say that? I sit cross-legged at the table. Sometimes you feel self-conscious in front of other families. Like, I don't like to drink later in the night. I like to drink if I'm on holiday vacation. I'll start the glass of wine at 4. Just as that dusk is coming, give me that big old red wine. But then I won't drink like after 6 or 7. Then it's like I want a hot tea. But if you drink at 4 with your spouse or partner's family, they might look at you like she's drinking at 4. And then like you're the only one opening the wine, which is normal in your own family. There's just too much compromise with the traditional relationship stuff. Unless your entire family's dead or I don't know what. But I love my family. Having met a lot of other families out there, good luck to all of them. Again, God bless them. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving. But I think if I were to do it again and I got to pick, I would pick mine. Now, would we live in Massachusetts? No. I would have my loud family. We'd be in Isle of Capri, and we'd have a house in Paris, and we'd also live in Rome, and then, I don't know what. Maybe something in Malibu. No, absolutely not. Would I pick again to be from the suburbs of Massachusetts? Or maybe whatever I needed to grow up and be who I am, fine. Keep that. Keep the past. But then at age, right now at age 39, my family suddenly has $50 million and we live all over the world. Yes, that's the only thing I would change about my family. I think they would change that too. And that includes me. I don't have $50 million and I don't live all around the world. Sorry to disappoint anyone that thought maybe I was sitting in a tub in Portugal. So anyway, that's the episode today. It's my family. I do apologize that sometimes they're not on mic. Believe me, you miss nothing. I know sometimes it sounds like a one-way cell phone conversation, but I would always go back and ask them to repeat what they said. I hope this episode is a little fun, a little departure. I want to remind everyone in LA about my holiday show at the Hollywood Improv, December 7th, Saturday at 10 p.m. with Morgan Murphy, Tig Notaro, Eddie Pepitone, and me. I'll be selling books after at a special discount price for the holidays, only $12. Normally it's $22, and I'll be signing and taking pictures. So I hope you can come to that. I call it a dysfunctional holiday show. It's a great place to go instead of going to your family's, your friend's, Christmas party or your office party. If you want free tickets to that Hollywood Improv show, send me an email at iseemfun@gmail.com. Give me your name. And if you know the name of your guest, please give me their name. It's 2 tickets per person. Someone asked me if 6 people are coming, can't do it. But with 2 free tickets in a group of 6, you offset the cost a little bit. So email me at iseemfun, put your name and your guest name. You will get a confirmation email back. If it's just you and you want to bring a plus one, that's okay. Just let me know that it's a plus one. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. I see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jack Kirkman podcast. Oh, my ghost story got on camera.
Hi.
Hi.
No, I'm doing my intro. You don't have to be quiet, but I've started. I am not in bed. This is episode 29. I think it's 30 of I Seem Fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast. I am doing a special episode today with my family. Thanksgiving just happened 2 days ago, so you will not get this in time for Thanksgiving, but who cares? We are in front of the fire and in front of the television watching Lifetime holiday movie. What is it?
A Christmas Wedding.
A Christmas Wedding. A real estate developer embarks on a wild cross-country odyssey to get home in time for her wedding. Oh. I only like the ones where they meet and decide to get married like 2 days.
She's going to marry him.
She's going to marry not the original guy. Okay, well then I approve. I don't have anything planned for this episode. I just know that my family will talk over me and talk to cats while I'm trying to talk to them.
<They're>
I almost died in a plane crash on the way down here, which maybe I'll get into after I talk to my family. So I don't have to talk to you guys with them here. Well, my sister just walked away. Well, no, I'll tell the plane crash story and then we'll get reactions if I had died. Okay. So I'm flying in on Virgin. What? What? You were just pointing. What?
Michael Mahoney wrote this show.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either, but it was just a coincidental name. A name that we've heard in the past.
Michael Modine?
Mahoney.
Don't bring up my ex-husband. I'm trying to tell a story about almost dying in a plane crash.
I want you to say it on live.
I know, but I'm talking into a microphone. You're pointing at the
Jim Head. I don't know him either. So,
okay, anyway, so if anyone can feel free to interrupt me as they want.
I'm trying to learn this.
So I'm flying in. A red eye, Virgin America, going to land Thanksgiving morning at 6 a.m. Sitting there quietly in my first class seat. I paid for an upgrade, $100, because I'm a silver member. I didn't buy a $2,000 ticket. Don't think I have a lot of money. So, well, I don't like people to think I'm wealthy because then they don't buy my products. Yeah. They think she has enough money. But it's not true. I am... What's that?
Do people hear you now?
No, they'll hear it when I put it on the internet. This is just the recording.
Oh.
Okay. So, I was on the plane.
What? She looks like Linda.
Well, she is my sister, so.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I do.
Oh, my God.
Oh, because I have a microphone?
Yeah. Oh,
jeez.
You should sing The House of the Rising Sun.
All right. There's a small fire. This is not going to be easy to get through. So I am on the plane sitting there.
Oh, oh.
I'm noticing that for the busiest travel day of the year, there's three empty seats in first class. There's three empty seats in every section of the plane. It's not very full. We start to come in for a landing. I wake up. The stewardess makes me put my seat back up. And all of a sudden, I think we've landed because the plane has a huge thud and I can feel something happen at the bottom of the plane. And then I look out the window and we're still in the air. And I'm like, oh my God, if we haven't landed. I just felt the way it felt outside. This is going to be really turbulent landing. So as we're landing, it's so bumpy. I'm dry heaving into the barf bag. There's a guy next to me listening to his iPod loudly. I don't know why they do not tell people to turn off their iPod. Anytime I have flown in coach, they come around and like basically slap your thing out of your hand. In first class, they let people listen to their iPods on the landing. I don't know why. So his music is blaring. All of a sudden, the plane comes in for a landing. The wheel touches the ground. I see the wing. It looks like it's about to hit the runway. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be one of those people that's in one of those landing plane crashes where maybe I'll survive, but it might be badly burned. But here it goes. Oh, well, it's happening. And then the pilot jacked the plane back. I don't know what you call it. Pulled the throttle and we shot straight up into the air and I almost threw up, but the G force, it probably wasn't G force, but the force was so much it threw me back. So then
you were like that girl in the movie we saw last night,
Gravity. Yes. Which thumbs down from everyone in my family.
Did you see anything on the wing of the plane?
No. Why?
Like that thing that sits on the wing from the Twilight Zone.
Oh, I've never seen the Twilight Zone. Okay. I don't know if you guys even being picked up.
Maybe it was on the other wing so that we waited out. So the wing on Jennifer's side would not hit the ground.
Okay, so anyway, the plane goes straight back up into the air. I'm looking out the window. The earth is like to the side of me. It's nothing I've ever seen before. And then he doesn't get on the intercom. And it's one of those things where I know we're not going to crash, but it's the most vulnerable I felt in an airplane where, because of the elements, the human could not land the machine. And it was a struggle. And so then I'm trying to make eye contact with the stewardess to ask if we're okay. But she's looks in a panic. I always take my cues from them. She does not look well. And I actually think she might have been trying not to throw up. Then the pilot gets on. It's a little windy. Just had a big gust of wind there. Like acting like it's so nothing that it was annoying me. I just had a big gust of wind there. And we'll be circling around. We circled around for 20 minutes.
But it wasn't a big gust wind. It was a windy day. So we eventually landed. It was the same kind of landing on the way down. I don't know why he thought this time it was any better. And then I threw up into my barf bag. And the guy next to me didn't seem thrilled, but I kept it in there and I took care of it nicely.
Did you watch any other planes come in and see if they bounced?
No.
When you went back to the...
Hang on one sec. I need you to be on the mic. What did you say?
Did you watch any other planes come in as you were going to the hangar?
To the hangar?
Well, to where you?
The terminal.
To the terminal?
No, I just went to baggage claim. You can't really see planes.
When you're going into the terminal, if you look out the window, you may see some planes. As you're taxiing down, you may see some planes come in.
Oh, I didn't even... No, I didn't even think to look. I was so in shock. My adrenaline was crazy. I just wanted to throw up. And so I got a ginger ale, and I waited at baggage claim. And then I met my car that was waiting for me, and I sat there doing deep breathing in the back seat. While the guy driving the car told me all about how he used to live in L.A. for 15 years, but it was such a disposable place, and somebody dumped him, and nothing seemed permanent, and he had to move back. And I was thinking, that's exactly why I love L.A., because I don't want a family hanging all over me. Not you, but to make my own. I would be psyched if someone dumped me. I would be like, I have so much free time now. What's that?
I was in a plane when it went up before. I was in it twice.
Were you scared?
No, you didn't have time to be scared. Pilot just gunned the engines to go back up. He says, somebody's sitting in the middle of our lane in the airplane, in the airport. He says, I didn't think I wanted to hit him, so we went back up.
That's a little different if you have a plane on the runway than the wind is so windy that you're going to tip over. I feel like that's less scary.
We were on a flight once where we had to put our head between our knees and hold our knees because they didn't know what was going to happen.
When was that?
Going like this.
They can't see what you're doing on the podcast.
The plane was tilting from left to right. And we had to put our head. We had to put our head between our knees.
Was I there?
Yeah, the water was really choppy going over. You could see it in New Jersey and New York. It was white heads all over the place.
White caps. Was I on the plane? Wait, was I on the plane when that happened?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, how old was I?
I don't know. 13, 14.
And we had to put our heads between our legs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pilot said, put your head between your legs.
Yeah, he said, it's going to be tough.
Do you think that might be why I have a fear of flying? I have no memory of that flight.
That could be it, yeah.
Have you been on a plane yet? What that said?
His dad was probably saying, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go.
That could probably be it.
Here we go, Jen, here we go. I'm not scared, but don't you be scared, Jen. Here we go, here we go.
I don't have any memory of that. I really don't think I was there.
On a plane, then?
I think so.
Why would you have gone to Disney World without me?
We didn't.
Dad's gone to Disney World by himself.
I have no memory of that, but I don't have a fear of flying anymore. I'm not afraid to get on a plane in an hour or leave the airport. I'm not afraid.
This is a charter flight.
I don't know what that is.
A charter flight means that it wasn't like JetBlue or Delta where scheduled to go. It's a charter flight. I mean, they have experienced pilots and they have good planes, but it's just.
So what airline was it? Not a real one?
But not private.
No, they just rent an airplane. And
I don't think I was on this. I know this does not sound familiar.
You were.
Was it some? Why did we fly charter? Because it's cheap?
I think I arranged it, and Dad was not happy after he found out.
Because it's not a normal size jet.
Yeah, it was normal, but it was a cheaper flight. And
Rex Traylor used to do charter flight.
Yeah,
trips.
Something. Like, yeah, and we did meet Rex Traylor when we got there, and he said to you, "Oh, hi, Jen."
I think that was the last, you're right, because when I was 14, that was the last time I flew again until I was 21. And
No.
Yeah.
You flew, we had another flight to Disney World, and it was on it's going to be on a 747, but then they made those cattle cars, and you went in the bathroom and got locked yourself in.
I have no memory of that either.
That's Joanne, right?
How old was I?
I don't know. Can't remember ages.
He was Actually, I came back from California. I just came back on American Airlines on a 747.
And can you take your finger out of your mouth? All right, go on.
We made the plans to go to call up and go to Disney World.
Does Gail have to have her tongue sticking out?
Mom, stop.
It was a 747, but they called it a cattle car because they took a lot of stuff out and just made room for passengers.
I think you have to let everyone know who Rex Trailer is. Our dad called him.
Tex Critter.
Tex Critter.
We know, they know Rex Trailer from my stories. Okay. I don't know if I've told them on this podcast.
He used to be on Howdy Doody. Howdy Doody time.
No, Rex Trailer was...
No. In that time.
Okay, everyone.
Boomtown.
Like Gail say it.
Excuse me?
I was on Boomtown.
The TV show Boomtown?
Yes, and I was disappointed that there was not a real horse there in the studio audience.
Were you actually on it as an audience member?
So, and I waved. I waved in the front, and I had a little cowboy thing and a little tie, and then we had little hoodsies during the break, but I was so mad because there wasn't a horse there.
But wait, where did they film Boomtown? In Boston?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And how come I never got taken to a TV show set when I was little? That was my dream.
That was like ended. I was much older than you. That was gone.
I know, but there was a TV show that Tom Bergeron hosted before Dancing with the Stars.
From called Star Search?
No, called Community Auditions.
Oh, Community Auditions. I used to watch that all the time.
Filmed in Needham. Nobody would take me to a taping of Community Auditions.
Why didn't we even think of that?
I begged. I tried to get on. I wanted to tap dance. Nobody would help me.
That tells you something, doesn't it?
Well, why don't I understand?
Writing the 11 things you want to know about me. One of my things is I'd like to learn to tap dance.
Who's writing 11 things to know about me?
People will be like, hey, 11 things you want to know about me. And then people write all these things that you know.
Is that a thing happening right now on Facebook?
Yeah.
Oh.
You can get it.
Well, you pick a number. You pick a number. So some people have 7, some people have 11, some people have 5, whatever. One of mine would be tap dance.
Maybe our whole family could learn, and then we could be the Tap Dancing Kirkmans.
That's not a great name.
I took you into Boston where you made commercials, Jen. You did a Conflake commercial. You were in Boston. We didn't go to community auditions for...
You're saying we went bigger and better.
We went higher up than community auditions.
No, I told this story, and you can all go to the Pod F Tomcast podcast, my friend Paul. I told the story of taking the acting class with Rex Trailer when I was 10, thinking that he would call Hollywood and someone would put me on a sitcom. That was a letter I wrote, the year I wrote a letter to Gary David Goldberg asking him to please replace Jennifer on Family Ties with me because I didn't think she looked like anyone else in the family, which is true. That she doesn't look like her sister Mallory.
Right.
And I do. Or I did. Mallory. Well, we all love Mallory. Anyway, so I almost died in a plane crash, in my opinion, even though it seems everyone else has.
You didn't almost die in a plane crash. You were landing, and the plane was having a problem, and it could have been sort of crashing a little bit, the wing coming off.
Can you imagine?
But you didn't die in a plane crash.
No, I know I didn't die in a plane crash. But can you... if the pilot gets on, we're having a little bit of a plane crash.
You might have been like totally... Totally messed up with 2 broken legs and 2 broken arms. And a whole.
Anyway, my point is, I did not die or get injured in a plane crash. It didn't happen. If I had, the irony of waking up on Thanksgiving morning... And I'd switched my flight. I was supposed to fly home on Thanksgiving. The irony, if she switched her flight, she finally got over her fear of flying. She flies all the time, and she died on Thanksgiving morning. Would you have laughed at all at the irony of that?
Laughed?
Do you have a
will? Of course
will?
Not. Of course
I was wondering
not.
Who the executor of your will is.
Well, I was thinking, what would we do with that stupid tofurkey that we had in the refrigerator?
It was good. I liked my tofurkey. No, Mom and I were talking today about I don't have a will, but I don't like talking about it because then I feel like something's going to happen.
Right. No. Don't talk about it now. Wait till you get home.
Yeah. Don't talk about that stuff. No. Don't talk about that now.
Talk about tofurkey.
Well, I just wanted to, just don't bring my body back to Massachusetts and put it in the cold ground. Stop hitting me. Why are you hitting me?
Stop talking like that, Jen. People don't want to hear that crap.
Okay. I think people want to know what people's wishes are. You know what? I'm going to put this on Facebook, 11 things you don't know about me, but it's all going to be pertaining to my funeral.
That's stupid. A kid always told me when he was little, he says, "Hey, I thought they told you to wait for me at my funeral." I was his pallbearer 2 weeks later.
So don't
start that nonsense about, that's not good.
That's horrible. Now you're confirming my every fear you guys are fear mongers.
Put on Facebook about death and that stuff.
I'm joking. I would never do that.
Stop hitting.
Mom, stop hitting people. Can you hear you hitting people?
Oh, we're on the couch.
Harry, do you want to do the infamous padding?
Yeah. We're on the couch, three of us.
Now, this is interesting. I don't even know what it is. My mother loves to listen. Do you just listen to my podcast or you listen to other ones?
Just yours.
It's very interesting to me that you figured out how and enjoy the medium of podcasting. It's not something you probably ever imagined when you were even 64 years old.
I don't know how to do it. Well, I can teach her, but she won't let me.
You've never asked to teach me. What are you talking about?
All right, well.
It's very interesting, and sometimes I don't need to hear all the things that I hear, but I just take it in stride and say, well.
Well, you're the one listening. My friend Greg Fitzsimmons has a podcast. He starts it every week with Mom, Stop Listening. He's a grown man in his 40s, has a family, and his mother listens. And he's like, please stop listening.
It's because we like to hear your voice because we miss you and we don't get to hear you.
You can listen to my audiobook.
I know.
Which all of you can buy at jenkirkman.com/book.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's talk about...
I just listened to an old cassette tape of Jen that I have.
Let's talk about... Well, now I'm weirded out by Dad's story, but I won't get into it. Do you fall asleep?
No.
Okay. Anyway. No, I was going to ask about everyone's... I haven't been home for Thanksgiving in 12 years. Not that anyone noticed.
Wow.
But the last one I was home for was 2001. Wow. Right before I moved to L.A. And was wondering what you guys have been doing without me for 12 years, if you remember.
Went to Nana Jeanette's a few times and had Roach Brothers Thanksgiving, and she died. And then I've been going to my friends' houses every year, Eileen and Maureen and Grace.
That's right. We shout out to Nana Jeanette. Ooh. That's something I do on the podcast, Gail. We used her silverware on Thanksgiving. Talked about her favorite memories of our...
Oh, yeah.
One of my mom's
favorite
mom.
Favorite things to do on Thanksgiving was to have a half a glass of wine or one quarter of a glass and then sit on Dad's lap at the table. That was her Thanksgiving...
I thought that was Christmas.
...treat.
That was Christmas, too.
I think it was Thanksgiving also. Oh, and you and your boy cousins would... totally disrespect the relish tray and take all the black olives off and stick them on the ends of your fingers. You guys thought that was
funny.
Yeah,
but you were asking what we've done the past 12
years. Yeah. No one cares about olives on the fingers.
Well, what did we do?
We used to go to my brothers.
They went to Foxwoods.
We used to go to my brothers. We went to Valerie's house.
Since 2006, I have been going to Maureen or Eileen or Grace's house. For the past 6 years.
Right, but nobody asked us to go anywhere.
We went to Linda's house.
I don't even know what this sounds like. Everyone talking at once. Don't hit the recorder.
Oh, that's right.
What a disaster. This is a disaster.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking at once.
Well, it's not like you have to use this one.
I want to. People want to hear the Kirkmans.
An iPad.
Well, that's how, we all talk at the same time. So.
I mean, people like you better than the Kardashians. Yeah.
They don't know me, though.
They don't know Gail, but they will. One Miss Needham in 1981. Town beauty contest. My mother very upset. Gail, keep going. You can get into Miss Massachusetts. Why are you stopping? Gail just...
Hey, I won Mr. Personality when I was 12 years old.
You did?
Yeah.
What the hell kind of contest was that?
St. Patrick's School, I guess.
So your Catholic school had a contest in what, Methuen, Mass?
Lawrence, South Lawrence.
And so they said, okay, kids, it's Mr. Personality Day, and then what did you have to do to earn the winnings?
I forget. I don't know whether the school ran it or not, but I just won it.
Nana entered him, too. I was the smartest girl in the sixth grade.
So now I'm trying to talk about Thanksgiving, but now everyone's just bragging. Nan and Jeanette won class wit in 1928.
I started because you said I was Miss Needham.
Oh, right. Sorry. And then you won class actor in high school, right, Dan?
I was class actor in high school, right? And after the senior play, we went down to a place called the Red Tavern for food. And all the girls wanted a ride down, and I gave them a ride down. And I had a date with a blonde. I had to have her home by midnight.
Ooh, that's late.
And her father was a police officer, and I had Joanne in the car with me, your mother. And I brought her home, and the girl home, and then the mother was the last one I brought home, and I said, you want to go to dance tomorrow night? She said, yeah. I says, I'll meet you there, because I play in a band. I don't have to pay to get in. She had to pay a quarter or 50 cents to get in.
You played in a band?
I played the high school band, trumpet, first trumpet.
The dances back then were like Back to the Future, so you didn't have like a guitar. The band was like...
Records. High school dance.
Wait, but why did you play trumpet? You played trumpet while a DJ?
High school band.
Oh, so people in the marching band got to go to the dance.
High school band didn't have to pay to get...
So you made your date pay for herself.
Absolutely, because I lost my original date.
Well, what did your original date say when you called her the next day and said, you know, that other girl that was in the car with us, I'm going out with her now?
I never called her. I forget.
This is horrible.
I forget what happened.
She could have been your mother. She was a blonde. You wouldn't have
died. It sounded like my father was like a bad with women. No, but just like inconsiderate. I wouldn't want someone like that.
Has he changed?
I don't know. I am not dating him, but I would say if I said, Dad, I met this great guy. Oh, how I met him was I was in the car with him and his girlfriend, and then he didn't even dump her. He just dropped her home, and then he made me pay for my own date. You would hate him.
I had to have the girl home by midnight, and I got everybody home safely, and then Joanne was the last one on the way home. But
her father didn't say, come. But you would normally just drop your girlfriend home at midnight, say, I love you, honey, bye, see you at the dance. Like, it's not, you had to drop her home at midnight, so I had to take a new girlfriend.
Senior play banquet, not at the dance.
After party.
So she couldn't have been that serious of a girlfriend.
Probably not. She was younger than me.
So then you and Mom have been together ever since that dance?
Yeah.
And at that dance, at the after party, we danced exclusively together all night long.
Who? Me and you? Mm-hmm. I don't remember that.
Did you dance the Stairway to Heaven?
No, I don't think so.
So this really is like Back to the Future Enchantment Under the Sea dance.
Not Back to the Future. It was way, way before Back to the Future.
But Dad, you know that... Wait.
Yeah.
Dad, you know that Back to the Future is about this guy's parents who he goes back to 1955. So this was 1955.
Yeah, okay.
So it's just like the Enchantment Under the Sea dance where they met that night.
But if he has any regrets, he got what he asked for. I didn't ask him to stay with me for the rest of my life. He asked me.
Well, and then you had to.
You know what I wanted to say about playing in the high school band?
Yes.
I played trumpet, and there were much better trumpet players than me. But the thing about I also played golf. I was in a high school band. We had all the cheerleaders. We had all the majorettes. We were closer to them than what the big football players were. So we knew what we were doing in high school.
Yeah, I was captain of the golf team.
So you're saying you saw the girls closer up than the football players ever got?
Absolutely. We hung out with the girls.
You don't have to be a creep suddenly. What the hell is going on?
all the football players, you know, they were good friends, but let them play their football games. We'll talk to the girls.
Well, that is interesting. The guys in the tight pants who are just crashing into each other really aren't,
well,
you know.
Because they weren't supposed to have sex the night before the game, see? So the girls didn't like them.
What?
What are you talking
athletes.
About, Joanne?
Athletes. Aren't supposed to have sex the night before the game.
So. Where did you get that information?
Where's that from?
That's a known fact. It's not anything dirty.
I heard that.
Yes, it's supposed to be bad for the...
The athletes would have to be in bed by a certain time.
Very bad for their...
mojo?
Physical... No,
I've heard in the if you're in the Olympics and you're training, you need to hold off for the whole time until your big performance.
Right. Well, they said that about athletes.
So midnight. What was your curfew, Mom?
I didn't have one.
Well, how come I had one? If you were raised without one, and you,
she saw what, how bad she was, so she wasn't going to let you. So you had to have.
I had to come home at. I would be out on a Saturday night at age 18 with my friend, no, 17, with my friend senior year. We would be so innocent in my friend Terry's basement, no, her boyfriend Brian's basement, watching Saturday Night Live. And I would have to leave at 11:30 when the show started. And then you guys would pick me up and I'd watch Saturday Night Live with you two and talk on the phone to my friends.
Saturday Night Live. I don't watch that.
I would have to be in by midnight, but nobody said it, but I always was.
Midnight would have been a dream. I had to be home at 10. And then you extended it to 11:30 my senior year.
Well, there was a lot more going on in your day than in our day.
There really wasn't. I mean, my group was pretty innocent. My group was pretty innocent. It was like a bunch of dorky, like, theater weirdos sitting around. I mean, honestly, no one did anything. We didn't even drink.
I didn't have a lot of boyfriends. I wasn't out on dates every weekend. You know.
Who was your boyfriend before Dad?
I don't remember, really. What? Oh, I did. I went out with someone from Phillips Academy, and Dad was very jealous. He became a dentist.
Wait, you knew Dad before that night in the car?
Yes, we were classmates. We were in the same class in high school.
She was with the educated ones. I was with the clowns. We were in the same. The only time we spoke to each other is if we walked by... down a corridor. Hi, Joanne. Hi, Ron. That's all. But
so it's like a slobs versus snobs.
Yeah, kind of.
If it was Caddyshack, Dad would be the caddy.
Yeah, Caddyshack. Well, no, we were just... I mean, I used to throw pennies under the doors and then into the next room.
What is... Wait, it was what?
Which was unheard of. You know, it's kind of stupid, but that's what I. That's what
and
we did.
Send girls notes that say said... Back in the day, when it wasn't allowed, your bra strap is showing. They would send notes to girls like that.
I didn't write that.
Nowadays,
other people did.
Your bra strap is not showing. Not in style.
What does rolling a penny under the door mean? So you'd be sitting in your classroom, and the teacher would be teaching.
The teacher wasn't looking at me. She never saw it. You know, the kids, we would just throw a penny under the door into the next room.
So you're in the classroom, you're throwing the penny under the door.
Disturb the class into which the penny was rolling.
Yeah. Which was the high.
That seems like a very precision prank.
It was like the high English class.
Really stupid.
A lot of like nerds who are really into Shakespeare, and they throw a penny under to make the class go like, you know.
And which were you? Were you a Shakespeare nerd?
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Now, Dad, why did you never... pursue your dream of becoming an actor after winning Class Actor, or you didn't care?
I didn't have the money to go to Hollywood.
But nobody ever has the money to go to Hollywood. Did you really think I'd like to go to Hollywood, but I don't have any money, or you just didn't even...
I never thought of being an actor.
Oh.
Well,
some of my friends went out for the senior play, so I went out for the senior play, and it was called Coddled Egbert.
It's the weirdest name of a play.
My name was Orlando Fleetwood.
And you were in the play too?
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to be an actor?
No, I wanted to be a singer.
Would you like to sing on the podcast?
If you sing with me.
I don't have anything to sing.
Sing Jingle Bells.
I can't sing without an orchestra.
I showed my family Royce and Marilyn.
You got to send me a link.
I will. I'll send you a link.
Why don't we sing Jingle Bells? Dad has a good voice.
Oh, Jingle Bells.
But this comes out next Wednesday. It is officially the Christmas season. I don't know why everyone's being such a... All right.
Are you kidding me right now?
No. One...
Through the snow in one horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells.
Oh, I'm not singing.
Jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one open sleigh.
Hey, jingle bells, jingle.
Okay, that's good. We're good. We don't have to finish. Oh, fade out. Yeah, fade out. Fade out. Yes, Gail.
Horse, not hoss.
Horse. Would you like to sing Blue Christmas?
I'll have a blue Christmas.
Okay, this is going off the rails. Gail.
Would you like a day for us?
No. All right, now I'll talk to my sister.
What about...
Anyways.
You got to go catch an airplane in a couple hours.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a short one. I mean, oh, my God, I feel like I've been talking to people forever.
I think they're going to stop listening.
They're not going to... They love the family. My sister's laying here with three cats around her.
Tired.
Now... what was I going to ask you? No. Oh, hi, kitties. Oh, I'm getting distracted by all the cute kitties. All right, answer me. Mm-hmm. It's too psycho. I can't even get near you.
They're surrounding me. Someone's going to be dead someday. They're all going to be just crawling.
What will you do if I don't come home for Christmas this year, if I stay in Los Angeles because I cannot take almost crashing in planes anymore in this weather?
I'll lay on the floor with all the kitties.
You won't miss me?
Oh, I'll totally miss you because we sit on Christmas Eve together and watch Rudolph and Elf again eat candy. We used to. Remember that day we had a Christmas, we just ate candy. Remember we protested, you, me, and Michelle? We each had our own box of chocolates. We ate it.
I have no memory of that. I have no memory.
2005.
I have no memory of anything. It was almost 9 years ago. I don't think I would eat a box of candy now anymore.
No, I wouldn't eat a whole thing like that again.
But no, we would miss you. It'd be sad. I'd probably just be here and maybe go to Aunt Val's or Aunt Karen's house.
You'd be fine. I would be the one that would be totally alone. Yeah. I know, but my Virgin terminal at Boston is its own private security, so they don't even let you go through security until 4:30.
Yeah.
So if we leave here now, I'll be at the airport 2 hours early for my flight with nowhere to go, not even through security.
Okay.
And I got an upgrade, so I get to cut the line and just drop my bag off. So... there's really nothing I can do.
I thought you were talking to me now.
Oh, sorry. What's one of your
No favorite? One knows about me.
Well, tell everyone all about you.
You have to ask the question.
Oh, all right. Well, what do you do for a living? What's your name? Oh. Gail's cat Mittens is playing with the cord. State your name, age. Tell them where you live, what you do for a living. You don't have to tell them where you live. Just tell them what you do, what are your interests, what are your passions, what's your typical day?
Well, I would love to learn to tap dance.
Gail's my older sister of 10 years.
I'm the middle
child.
She's a Taurus.
I ride horses. I teach horseback riding. And that's about it.
Yeah. Who's your ideal man?
Johnny Depp.
Oh, mine has changed from him to James Franco.
I also like, what's his name? He was in the Hangover.
Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper, yeah.
All right. Well, maybe if I ever see him, I'll let him know.
Yeah, ask him, can he lift a 50-pound bag of grain?
Right, so tell people about what you do every morning.
I feed 6 horses. I carry 50-pound bags of grain and hay. I'm very strong. I teach little girls how to ride horses, and
it. Well, they knew she was pretty from the Miss Needham announcement or from earlier.
She plays hush poop.
And what's your favorite? Oh, hang on.
She has a gorgeous figure.
But, Mom, this is like not something she would say about herself. Oh, hi, I'm Gail. I have a gorgeous figure. And what's your favorite memory of you and your little sister, Jen?
You don't have one?
I don't know. I used to take pictures of her dancing in the front yard in her little ballerina stuff when I was, like, taking photo classes in high school, and I would take pictures out of a Quaker Oats box. Yeah. That was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, a little camera.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, nice to get some cool pictures. That was good memories. Going to Disney with you when you were freaking out, and I was holding your sweaty palms and reading to you. That was good.
I was 22 at that time. That was, we decided to go to Disney World as a family when I was 22.
I was in a golf tournament.
And I was very afraid to fly, and actually you were very helpful. You did the one thing you're supposed to do. I even took Xanax, and I still wasn't calming down. And Gail took me to the airport gift shop and just said, let's look at some Beanie Babies. And it just kind of distracted me enough until we got on the plane. And then Gail said, if you have a sip of beer, it might make the Xanax kick in faster. And I said, oh, that's good. So we went to the bar and had a half a glass of beer. And she was right. And then I got on the plane and I felt great. And I remember going up and down the aisle shaking hands with people. That's all I remember.
I read the things to you, the relaxation things to you.
Right, we read relaxation things. Gail does have a calming presence. Well, I was old enough to drink.
I do have a calming presence. That's why I teach horseback riding, because the kids, when they freak out, I can just make them relax.
Well, this has been a beautiful family episode. My mother is giving me the wrap it up sign. Proper modulation. That's Howard Stern. You don't remember that?
Oh, my God, I totally remember that. Oh. You must have the proper modulation.
All right, well, is there anything you want to say to all the fans?
I love Howard Stern.
Wait, hello? This is what you want to say to my fans?
Yeah, I love Howard Stern.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to all of us crazies.
Well, thanks for listening. I can think of a lot more things, but I've got a dull mind right now. I'm trying to think.
That's all right, Dan. All right, well, this has been Keeping Up with the Kirkmans, episode 30.
Could you just say, Mittens could say hi?
No, I'm not going to put the microphone in front of a cat.
I don't hear nothing.
I would like to take a really cute picture, however, of that. So hang on one sec, everybody. Dead air.
Oh, she loves
podcasting. So everybody, go to Jen Kirkman.
I'm in the fireplace.
Okay, my dad's going to make a fire. I'm going to...
I already made the fire.
Okay. Okay, and I guess I'm trying to do my plugs here. Go to jenkirkman.com/tour dates. Coming to Denver at the end of January. Philadelphia on Valentine's Day weekend. San Francisco, February 8th. Michigan, March 15th. And Melbourne, Australia, I have an announcement coming. Okay, till next week. Have fun.